People of the world, I beg you to please stop using OCD wrong. People are using OCD to mean things like just being a little bit clean or being a little meticulous or being organized. Like people will say, oh my God, I'm so OCD. I can't stand it when there's a dust bunny underneath the couch. Or I'm so OCD. I need my bills in my, you know, my dollar bills in my wallet to line up perfectly. If that's the extent of your issues, in all likelihood, you actually don't qualify for OCD. So I ask people to stop doing this. Why should we care? You know, why should we, you know, avoid using OCD wrong? Well, when we use OCD in this way, we minimize the horrible experience of people who actually suffer from OCD. People with obsessive compulsive disorder, they're not just being clean or organized. They're not being meticulous. It's a completely debilitating disorder that many, many people suffer from. And it's all consuming of their life. It's not just being, you know, it's not just having a minor preference. And people with OCD are often living in complete agony round the clock all the time. Let me give you an example of one person that I knew who suffered from OCD. When she woke up in the morning, she instantly had a flood of intrusive thoughts about worries about her family suffering terrible accidents or being harmed in some way. She specifically worried about her husband dying in a car accident and her children being abducted by a perpetrator and harmed in really horrific ways. She could visualize these things happening in her mind. She could visualize the car crash. She could visualize her kids being abducted. And these intrusive thoughts would enter her mind and just flood her, and she couldn't stop thinking about it. And she knew that there was no real rational reason to be thinking about those things, but it didn't matter because her brain was determined to focus her on those issues, and she couldn't really think about anything else, and it would just ruin her day. And over time, she developed these compulsions as a way of soothing herself temporarily from that anxiety. And the thing that her brain had decided to do was to make it so that if her house was completely organized and completely everything was lined up perfectly, then that would give her some temporary soothing to that anxiety about people in her family being harmed in some way. So as soon as she would wake up, she would go to the bookshelf and she would make sure all the books were lined up perfectly. She'd go to the fridge and make sure everything was lined up perfectly. It's almost like a superstition in a sense for her. She thought that if everything was lined up perfectly in her house, then the universe would not harm her family, or her family would be a little bit less likely to be harmed. One thing she knew for sure is that if things were out of order in her house, something really bad would happen, whether it was something to her family or something else. It's just a sense that you get when you have OCD that if you don't do something, something very terrible will happen. And no matter how much rational thought you have to say, like, you know, organizing my bookshelf has nothing to do with my husband getting in a car accident. Well, even though you have all that rational thought and you can logically think yourself through that, it doesn't change the reality of OCD. The OCD is so consuming, it completely overrides your rational ability to think. Now, there was no way for her to get out of this. She would, you know, people would find out about this and they'd say, why are you doing this? Like her husband would say, I'm not going to get in a car accident. I drive really safe. And although that was somewhat reassuring to her, there's no way anyone can reassure her completely that nothing bad is going to happen. Plus, for some people with OCD, even if you completely reassure them that there's no way anything bad could happen, it doesn't stop the brain from entering an anxiety loop of worry and terror. And so this was horrible for her. She was depressed about it. I mean, imagine every day suffering in this way and not being able to really do anything without that constantly just popping into your head. And well, she was quite depressed and she sought out therapy because of the depression. The therapist figured out that she had OCD. The therapist sent her to a specialist for OCD. And over time, it took a long time, but over time, the person was able to reduce her symptoms to a manageable level. Every once in a while, when she gets stressed out, her symptoms increase, but she goes back to therapy and the symptoms become more manageable. So that's OCD. It's not a slight preference for things being orderly, right? It's not a slight preference for things being clean. It's not a slight preference for not wanting any germs on your hands. That is not OCD. I described a very typical case of OCD. Now, OCD can look a lot of different ways. It's actually quite variable disorder, but the example I gave is pretty quintessential. Now, if you're going to use the word obsession or compulsion, that's fine. Because if you're just going to say like, oh my God, I'm so obsessed with podcast episodes that I can't think about anything else until I get it on YouTube or I post it on the internet or something. That's something that I might say. Once I get obsessed on an idea like OCD, I can't really do anything else until I finish that. Now, I can say that. I can say I'm obsessed with that. But what I'm not saying is I have OCD. I'm just saying I'm obsessed with it. That's not a clinical label, right? And I'm not bothered when people say I'm obsessed with this or I have a compulsion. Like, I have a compulsion to whenever I scratch this side of my face, I have to scratch the other side of my face. You know, it's a mild compulsion. But what I'm not saying is therefore I have OCD. Now, you might if it became, you know, to a level where it was ruining your life and you had, you know, a lot of other kind of symptoms. But it's okay to say you have an obsession or a compulsion. It's similar to the way when people say, oh, he's narcissistic. That's fine. But if you're going to say that person has narcissistic personality disorder, you shouldn't be using that term unless you're a specialist in narcissistic personality disorder. It's really, even if you're a mental health clinician, you probably shouldn't be throwing around that label very loosely unless you're an expert. It's, you know, we do this all the time in our culture. We bastardize a lot of different mental disorders. Schizophrenic gets thrown around in weird ways. ADHD gets thrown around in weird ways and lots of other disorders. So it's not uncommon to do this. Again, the reason why we shouldn't be doing this is because, one, it creates a lot of confusion in society about what OCD is. And it also minimizes the experience of people who actually suffer from these issues. And I talk to people all the time with OCD who talk about their frustration with the fact that people will just throw around OCD. I mean, imagine you're that woman that I described earlier and you're in a, you know, daily just, you know, grind of obsessions and compulsions, and it's completely ruining your life. And then you have a friend or someone on TV that says, oh my God, I'm so OCD. I don't like dust bunnies underneath the couch. Can you imagine how that would make you feel? You'd just be like, what? No, I have OCD. You just don't like dust bunnies. Just say you don't like dust bunnies. That's fine. Say you're a very clean person. That's fine. But why do you have to say OCD? That's so weird. And this spreads into the internet, of course. And I have some examples here. It didn't take me long to find these examples. A BuzzFeed article is titled 33 Meticulous Cleaning Tricks for the OCD Person Inside You. Again, 33 meticulous cleaning tricks for the OCD person inside you. And then the article just lists 33 tips for cleaning. That's all that it is. So there's nothing wrong with having an article about with cleaning tips, or to say 33 tips for cleaning because for the meticulous person out there, you know, that's fine. But for the OCD person inside you, what does that even mean? And why? You know, why do you have to use a horrible, debilitating disorder as a fun clickbait title? It's just awful. Hashtags, there's a lot of hashtags on Twitter that involve OCD, like this one. Hashtag obsessive CrossFit disorder. Hashtag obsessive CrossFit disorder. Again, if you're super into CrossFit, cool. You could even say like obsessed with CrossFit. Or compulsive CrossFit, or I don't know. But you're saying obsessive CrossFit disorder, and that's pretty awful. Now, this last one really takes the cake. There's a cosmetic company, and again, it didn't take me long to find this on the internet, called Obsessive Compulsive Cosmetics. Obsessive Compulsive Cosmetics. So if you're going to develop a hashtag or a BuzzFeed article, these are fairly impulsive acts, I'm guessing. They don't take a lot of time to think and post. But if you're going to create a cosmetic company, I'm guessing the name requires a fair amount of thought and money and consultants and brainstorming of different names for a company. Because, you know, once you create a company name, a brand, you kind of have to stick with it, right? And so I would assume that you talk about it a bit, maybe ask focus groups what they think of the name. And there's a company called Obsessive Compulsive Cosmetics. And I'm guessing what they think it means to people is being clean, like their cosmetics are very clean or very meticulous. I don't know. But I just find that to be incredibly insensitive to people who actually suffer from obsessive compulsive disorder. I mean, it'd be like if you had a TV company and you called it like the bipolar TV company or something, or the major depressive disorder book company. It's just, why would you do that to diminish people? I mean, in the medical sort of realm, imagine if someone called their comedy channel like Cancer Laughs, or I'm going to infect you with laughcancer.com or something. Like, if you actually had cancer yourself or you knew someone who had cancer, that would not be cool, right? That's not cool. So to call your cosmetic company Obsessive Compulsive Cosmetics is not cool. And this sort of stuff has got to stop. People with OCD are suffering in real ways. Mental illness has a tremendous amount of stigma, and a lot of people don't seek help because of the stigma. And then we're piling on with more suffering by demeaning them and minimizing their experience by naming our cosmetic companies Obsessive Compulsive Cosmetics, or having hashtag CrossFit, Obsessive CrossFit Disorder, this kind of thing. It's really awful, and it needs to stop. Again, you could say I'm compulsive or I'm obsessive about something. Totally fine with that. You could also say I'm nerdy about cleaning. You can also say you're a germaphobe. That's not a DSM diagnosis. But let's try to avoid the OCD term, unless it's actually referring to OCD. So that does it for that episode. If you want to become a patron of the podcast, you can by going to patreon.com. I actually did a 2 or 3 hour deep dive on OCD that is only available to patrons. So go to patreon.com, become a patron, and you'll get access to that, along with hundreds of other exclusive episodes. I've recently done deep dives on narcissistic personality. That episode was like 11 hours long. I did one on suicide that was 12 or 13 hours long. So when you become a patron, you get a lot of benefits. Plus, it's the way that I know you like this podcast. Also, if you're watching this video on the regular YouTube channel, I created another YouTube channel called Psychology in Seattle Videos that's just going to be for videos and not it won't include the audio-only episodes. So you can do that there. Thanks for joining me, and please take care of yourself because you deserve it. You really, really do.